Tonight we start a new series called The Nine. And the nine is the fruit of the Spirit. Okay? The nine fruit of the Spirit. On Sunday, I said that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And I said this, and I said, you cannot have the fruit of the Spirit if you don't have all nine of them. Because the fruit of the Spirit is all nine of these things working together to make it work. Okay? So it's not the fruits with an S, it's the fruit of the Spirit. If I was to take that apple that's on that screen and cut it into nine pieces, and I was to label each one with all the different things, and I gave all of you one of them, and I took out love, and I said, okay, I'm taking love out, and I'm throwing it in the trash, and I said, let's put these back together, we would be missing the biggest component, which is one spot to make it all work. Have you guys ever seen somebody put a puzzle together? And there's one piece, like, in the very middle, which is, like, the dude's eyeball that's missing. And you're like, that's a great picture, but that guy's eyeball is missing, and I just have this one spot that I can't fill, right? It's not a complete puzzle until you have all the pieces. So we cannot have the fruit of the Spirit without having all nine of these components that are included in the fruit of the Spirit. All right, so let's look at our key verse for the series. It is Galatians 5, 22 and 23, and I'm reading out of the NLT. It says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Okay? Before, if you were to read a little bit before this, it talks about the flesh. What does the flesh have? The flesh has all these negative things. That video that we watched at the very beginning, it talked about these negative things that we have, and then it says what the fruit of the Spirit is. What does the fruit of the Spirit, what does the Spirit produce? So nine different fruits. It's not nine different fruits, I'm sorry, but it's nine parts of one fruit all working together. Tonight, we're going to look at the word love. Now, you're all going to look at me and say, Pastor Brian, in February, we talked about love for an entire month. What more is there to know about love that we don't already know? Okay? There's a lot more to learn about love than you don't already know. In fact, there are 310 times just in the New King James, or in the King James Version, that love is put in the Bible. 310 times. So if I spoke on every time the word love came up, we could do 310 services without talking about the same verse over and over and over again. Is that crazy? So 310 times, it's in there. It's a lot of stuff. But here's what I want to do. I want to look at one section of scripture tonight, and it's Matthew 22, verse 37 through 39. And this is what it says. It says, Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Everybody say first. First. The second is equally important. Say second. Love your neighbor as yourself. So the first thing that you have to do is love God. That's the first thing. The next thing you have to do is love your neighbor as you love yourself. Okay? How many people right now, if I looked at you and I just said, poke yourself in the eye, would want to poke yourself in the eye? Okay? If I told you to slap yourself in the hand, would you want to slap yourself in the hand? Okay? If I told you to run straight towards that wall, you would do it. Some of you are going to do anything I say. Girls, don't run to the wall. But here's what I want you to understand. We're not going to look and say, I want to poke my friend in the eye. Because I don't want to be poked in the eye. I would rather not poke myself in the eye. I would rather not push my friend into a wall. But here's the thing. We're supposed to love God first. and then love our neighbor like we love ourselves. Okay? Now, here's the biggest thing. What is our slogan for the church, or our motto for the church? Stop. It's love God, number one. Love people, number two. And then serve others, number three. So if we're going to live by this verse in Matthew that says we need to love God above all else, we love God, and then we love our neighbor as ourselves, the only way that we can do what we're actually saying we want to do as a part of the church is to listen to the scripture that says love God first and then love others like we love ourselves. So let's look at this really quick. Number one point, first thing is, we have to love like Jesus loves. That's how we love. We have to love like Jesus loves. First thing is, you have to know how Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you unconditionally. We've talked about this last month. But Jesus loves unconditionally. God loves you unconditionally, which means you could mess up and do the worst possible thing, and he's going to look at you and be like, it's okay. Well, we're going to work this out. I love you. We can fix this. Sometimes I don't want to love unconditionally. Sometimes you do something so bad to me, and I'm like, you are gone. Forget it. I'm not even talking to you no more. I don't even want to have anything to do with you. Like, you're cut off. Anybody ever felt like they were just going to cut their friend off? Like, you're cut off. Sorry. You ain't coming back from this one. You done messed up. You done messed up, A.A. Ron, and it's over, right? So what happens is this. God looks at you and he goes, I don't care what you did. My love, the Son, Jesus, his love covers all of that. So all you have to do is say, God, I'm sorry. I did something I really shouldn't have done. And say, God, I just need you to help me. Would you forgive me? Would you help me to not do that? Would you help me to get through this? Would you walk with me as I walk this life? And he looks at you and goes, yes, I will walk with you. I understand that you messed up and I get it. But here's the thing. Too many times we just look and be like, God just doesn't love me anymore. I've messed up way too many times. I've had too many oopsies in my life. You ever had an oopsie? Where you're just like, oopsie, oopsie. I'd get that all the time. I've been painting the kids' wing back here, the little hallway, and it's looking like 150 times better. But there's times where I'm like, I'm painting, and all of a sudden I drop something on the ground. I'm like, oops. But here's the thing. We have to love unconditionally like God loves us, but we don't know what that is until we get ourselves into a relationship with him where we allow him to give us the unconditional love. See, it's one thing to say, I know what love is. But it's another thing to experience what love is on a way that it's unconditional. Think about it. You can mess up, do the worst possible thing, and God's going to take you back. Girls, some of you don't even like that guy to sneeze. Because if he sneezes the wrong direction, you're like, I cannot believe you just did that. What? What did I do? I can't believe you just did that. You just sneezed, like, right there, and I was right here. And, like, you wouldn't even let him have a sit next to you anymore because you just sneezed right on me. Like, that's gross, right? But the unconditional love of God gives us to the place where we understand that no matter what we do, he's still there. No matter what we do, he still loves us. So in order for us to have the fruit of the Spirit, we have to have love, but we have to understand that we have to have unconditional love. We have to be able to forgive somebody for something that they've done and love them past the mistake that they've made. So the second point is this. Romans 5:8 says, while we were still sinners, he sent someone in our place. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus died for us while we were still in sin. I don't know about you, but there's a lot of people that would say, until you get your life straightened up, I'm not going to love you. until you get your life straightened up, I'm not going to help you. Have you ever been with somebody and you're just like, you look at them, you're like, well, you can hang around, but I'm not going to let you come around me until you change the way you act. I've seen a lot of people who they were on drugs or they were addicted to something, a substance, and people look at them and be like, you can't come around my family until you get your act together, until you get your life straightened up. And I understand where they're coming from, but look, if that was the case, we would all still be slave to sin right now. If we would have waited, if we would have had to wait until we got our whole life straightened out before God would say, okay, now I'll die for you, we would all still be in sin. Because we all fall short every day. But you see, here's the thing. Even when we were still sinners, God took and said, you know what? I'm going to send Jesus to die for you. He died for us even while we were still in sin. He died for us. He was beaten and beaten and beaten and repeatedly beaten to the point where he was unrecognizable, to where nobody could understand or see who he was or know who he was. All they knew was that's the guy. They knew who he was by what people were saying, but they couldn't recognize him the way he looked. He didn't have to, but he did it. Unconditional love. Number two, love one another. The second part of love God, love people, is to love one another. We have to love each other, love other people. Now, I'm going to say this. You can't love other people until you know how God loves you. You can't love other people until you start to understand what love is by realizing how God loves you, to where you can love those other people. Some people think, oh, I can show you how what love is. But then they walk away and they really can't. They don't understand it. It's like today, I was working on the hall down there and I could tell you, I watched as we started putting lines up. And I knew what we were doing, but unless I sat there and really watched, I couldn't explain to you how we did it. Like, I know we put lines up on the wall, and there's triangles up there, but I don't remember what we did. Because I didn't sit right there and realize what we were actually doing and how we did it. Unless you get to the point where you see God and you are with him and you understand how he loves you, you're not going to be able to love somebody else. You're not going to be able to love other people. We have to know that we have to love unconditional. Have you ever watched somebody try so hard to be loved by somebody? They try really, really hard, like girls. Girls, you do this, okay? You want that guy to notice you so bad that, there it is, see? Noticing you with a smile right there, that laugh. But you want that guy to notice you so bad that you, like, go and you get, like, your makeup done and you curl your hair and, like, straighten it really nice. Because you look at this guy, right? Watch this. So you look at this guy, and you know the kind of girls he's, like, looking at, right? So you're like, oh, he likes girl with curly hair. So you curl your hair just to get him to notice you. Like, you notice he likes girls with long, long, straight hair. So you, like, change your hair to, like, long and straight just to make him like you. Like, you realize, oh, he likes girls that have red lipstick, so you put red lip gloss on. You're like, I don't want red lipstick, so I'll just put lip gloss on to make my lips look good. And you're just basically doing it to get him to see you. But you know what happens in the middle of that? He totally doesn't even know you're in the room. You've tried this whole time to get him to notice you, and he just walks right past you like you weren't even there. See, you know what it's like. You're feeling it. You're feeling it. But you get to this point, right, where you've done everything that you can do to get this guy to notice you, and the first thing he does is he's like, oh, look. Like, it's like this. This is the worst analogy possibly ever. But it's like this. If you and a box of pizza walked in the room together, he would go straight to the pizza. He wouldn't care that you were there. He'd just be like, pizza, yes. Like, he would totally miss that you were there, right? He would totally miss that you're there. But here, guys, we do the same thing. So I'm not going to just pick on the girls. Guys, you do the same thing. Like, when you want that girl to notice you, you finally, for the first time in like 6 weeks, take a shower. Like, for the first time in 6 weeks, you have on deodorant. Like, you're like, yes, I want that girl to see me. So I put my best jeans on. You know, the ones that have, like, the little bitty patch of messed up knee just to make it look like you're cool, you know? And then you, like, wear, like, that really nice shirt. So you're watching, like, what is this girl like? Oh, she likes this type of guy. So I go and fix everything up. Like, I go and get my hair cut just like so-and-so, and I go do this, and I go do that. And then as soon as you walk past her, she, like, looks at you, and she calls you the wrong name. You're like, oh, like, what in the world? You have tried. Look, listen. You have tried so hard. You have tried so hard to be loved by somebody that when they don't love you, then you do something. You do this. You're like, well, that didn't work, so I am not going to do it again. Girls, you walk in the next day, and you do this, right? Your hair's pulled up in a ponytail. You're like, forget it. No makeup. No hair's not done. I don't care if my shirt is baggy. I don't care if I'm wearing sweatpants. It doesn't matter. He didn't pay attention to me the day I looked nice. He ain't going to pay attention to me now. Why are you laughing? Why are you laughing? So here's the thing. Guys, go back to that no shower thing, you know? It's gross. But you try so hard for that one moment to get that girl to like you or get that guy to like you. But what you're doing is you're actually trying to just find love. You're just trying to find somebody who will pay attention to you for 5 minutes. Guys, you don't have to work so hard to find somebody to love you. Even when you were still in sin, God died for you. Jesus died for you even though you were still messed up. Even though you looked like you hadn't taken a shower in a week. Even when it looked like you had just basically rolled out of bed, threw your hair up, and walked out the door, God still died for you. He didn't ask you to get all pretty before he came to you and said, okay, I'm going to come into your heart now because you look nice. It's not going to work like that. See, here's the thing. How did my notes get flipped upside down? Here's the thing. We have to know what love is before that we can love somebody else. We can't be looking for love in 15 different places when God says all you have to do to find love is come to me. I'll show you what real love looks like. My love is unconditional. No matter what you do, it doesn't matter. I'll be there to walk with you and talk with you and say, okay, you messed up. Let's move on. And then the third point is this. Love selflessly. Selflessly. Do you know what it means to love selflessly to somebody? When you love selflessly, it means that you love not no matter what, because that's unconditional, but to love no matter what happens to you. If that means that for the next 30 minutes of your life, you are changing somebody's tire, even though it takes time away from your day, that's loving selflessly. You're on the road, you're driving, and all of a sudden you see this car, and it's this grandma who can't change her tire by herself, and she's trying to get it, and you just pull over to the side of the road, and you're like, let me help you. You know you're going to be late. You know that you're going to miss the opening credits of the new movie you're going to watch, and you know, you're like, man, I'm going to miss it. But you know what? If I help this lady out, it's better to help her and be late than it is to just drive past and not show her the love of God that I have in my life. You know how many times God gives you an opportunity to love unconditionally, love other people, and love selflessly that we just let it pass? We just let it walk past us. We just look at it and go, it's not a big deal. No big thing. Awesome, thank you. See, here's the thing. We have to love selflessly. We can learn to love like Jesus. We can learn to love others. But to learn to love selflessly is hard. I'm going to tell you, there's times I don't want to do stuff for other people. There's times people call me and I look at my phone and I'm like, oh gosh, why do I have to answer the phone right now? I just don't want to answer the phone. I just look and I'm like, please, can we just put that over there right now? Because I really just don't have the energy to deal with that right now. But if I love selflessly, I'm going to put my time and push it on the back burner and say, okay, I'm going to take care of this situation first. Let me love them. Let me show them love right now. It may be inconvenient at the moment. Here's the thing. There's a difference between selfless and selfish. Selfish means you're all about me. Selfless means you're about the other person. So you can either play the me game. It's all about me. It's all about what I want. It's all about my time. It's all about my stuff. It's about me getting where I need to go. It's about me doing what I need to do. Or you can play the you game and say, how can I help you? What can I do to make your day better? What can I do to help you get to this place? Where can I take you? What can I? It's not about, listen, it's not about what can I do for me. It's about what can I do for you. That's selfless. See, here's the thing. God loves unconditionally. He teaches us how to love other people. He died for us while we were still sinners. And he died for us out of a selfless abandonment. He said, you know what? I don't care about being where I'm at right now. I'm going down to help them. I'm going to die for them. I didn't do anything. Could you imagine what it would be like to do nothing wrong your entire life and then somebody just beat you and beat you and beat you and beat you and then nail your hands to a cross and your feet to a cross and you die for somebody and you did nothing wrong? Nothing wrong. It's crazy to think about it. But that's number one, that's unconditional love. And number two, that's selfless love. We have to live selflessly. John chapter 15, verse 13, it says this, greater love has no man than this, that a man would lay his life down for his friend. How do you lay your life down for somebody? Sacrifice. I'm not asking you to be a martyr and die for somebody. But lay your life down for somebody. Lay down your time and your ability and your talent to give to somebody else instead of worrying about yourself all the time. If we want our mission to stick, if we want what we right here are saying that we want to do, which is love God, love people, and serve others, we have to go by the fruit of the Spirit. If we utilize the fruit of the Spirit in everything we do, love, if we love people, we're going to show them God's love. If we have joy, they're going to see God's love. If we have peace, they're going to see God's love. If we have faithfulness, they're going to see God's love. If we have gentleness and self-control, my goodness, what would happen if all of a sudden, instead of yelling at somebody, you just went, it's okay. instead of getting mad and getting up into somebody's face and screaming and yelling and acting crazy, you're just like, it's all right. And they saw something completely different than what they were expecting. Sometimes people expect for us to be mad and to yell and scream and to get into people's face and not show self-control. There's times when my kids are playing sports, I don't want to show self-control. I don't want to be like, I want to be yelling at that umpire. Like, dude, you totally blew that. But what happens if I hold back and I just go, okay, they're human. It's okay. First of all, I don't look totally terrible because I'm just like, all right, let it go. And second of all, then they aren't getting screamed at by everybody, including me. Showing self-control. Self-control in our attitudes, in our relationships. But when we have all of these things, all of those things equal into that, into the fruit of the Spirit. I want you guys to bow your heads tonight. God, I thank you, God, that tonight that we have the opportunity to be here and that we have the opportunity to listen to what your word says. God, I also ask that tonight that we would understand what love is. God, we would understand that your love, it surpasses everything that we've ever thought or ever imagined what it could be. But God, that you have a plan and a desire to love us. God, not just to love us for what you can give us, but love you, God, because you desire a relationship with us. God, I ask, God, that when these students leave here tonight, God, that you would give them an opportunity to show your love to somebody else. God, give them an opportunity to show somebody else who you are by letting them walk out love in their life. God, I thank you, God, that tonight that you have set this night up, and I ask that you would help us to walk in those things. God, help us to be examples for you. And God, help us to walk out every single day the fruit of the Spirit. God, I ask all these things in your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.